In Acts chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 9 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, before I go any further, that ye have heard of me refers to one time in each gospel that Jesus referred to a baptism with the Holy Ghost. So now he's bringing it back here into their memory. And then he says, he actually paraphrases from those instances in the gospels. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So that is telling us right there that the baptism with the Holy Ghost is not something that happened to you the day you got saved. It was an event that took place 2,000 years ago, and he refers to it that way, not many days hence. So he localizes the event. And all 6 times that a baptism with the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible, it refers to the day of Pentecost. Okay? All right. So when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that's referring to that same event. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's the reason for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. We did pray, didn't we? All right. I also want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Where the Bible says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. That's the resultant of Acts 1:8. This is what will happen if God's people are witnesses unto him to the regions that sit in darkness. Also look at Acts chapter 10 and verse number 42. Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. Now all these passages of Scripture and many more that I have read, there's 2 things that are in common. One, every one of them in some way refers to missions. And every one of them is about people. Because missions is about people. Missions is not really necessarily about money, but don't get me wrong, missions involves money. But the focus of missions should always be on people. That should be the main focus of missions. And let me show you another resultant. And this is on a grander scale. And let's go to the book of Revelation to see this. Revelation chapter 7. Here is the result of missions. Here's what's going to happen. And this passage is still yet future. But in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." So where do you suppose all those people came from? The result of missions. And that's a glimpse in the tribulation period. Now, we raise money for missions because we're trying to do something with people. And it takes money to do that. And praise God for money that's raised for missions. But really, missions is all about people. So I want to speak tonight on this subject, what missions is. And in a nutshell, missions is people reaching people with a plan. Now, there has to be a plan. Praise the Lord that you need a plan for this, just like you would any other important vocation or occupation. And praise God, He has a plan. And I'm so thankful that He does have a plan, that He didn't leave it up to man to come up with a plan. Now, there are some people that believe they have the plan, they have a plan, instead of God's plan, and what a mess they've made of missions, and they've made it unscriptural. But I'm just thankful to God that He has a plan for missions. You know, He could have used angels. Now, there'll be a time when He'll use an angel in the tribulation period, but He could have used angels to reach men for Christ. He could have used some gigantic skywriter in the sky or something like that, but He didn't do that. What missions is people reaching people as He planned. So let's analyze that phrase tonight, people reaching people as He planned, and see exactly what missions is. Now, if we go back to Acts chapter 1, and look at verse number 8 again. Acts 1:8, and I'm surprising myself tonight that I'm able to turn to these passages of Scripture so fast, because I'm using another Bible than what I've used in the past to preach from. I mean, I've searched high and low for the same Bible where the Scriptures are on the same part of the page with my old Bible, and I finally found one. But the problem is these sheets are so thin. It's almost impossible to turn the pages. Somehow tonight, I'm getting there before some of you. But in succeeding passages of Scripture, you'll probably get there before I will. But notice again, Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's referring to the day of Pentecost. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now listen to this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." So whether we're talking about people, the subject, whether you're talking about the word ye, or you're talking about the word laborers, are we talking about any laborers? Are we talking about any ye? Are we talking about anybody? No, not just anybody. With people, the subject, God's plan is selective. Missions is, and never has been, freelance work. God is selective with people, the subject. Who are they? We'll turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And look at the passage that we refer to as the Great Commission. Matthew 28. In verses 16 through 20. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." Now, we all know that these 11 disciples were the remaining 11 apostles. And so the point being right here is, even though they are the 11 apostles, they are referred to here as his disciples. In other words, followers of Jesus. They followed him. And he called them together, and he gave to them what commonly is called the Great Commission, which is the marching orders for missions. That's what missionaries do right here. What do they do? First of all, the promise from the Lord. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. By the way, America is having to be retaught. You know, you have to teach the gospel before you can win anybody to Christ. So it takes more, folks, than just a few verses in this day and age. You got to really give them the Bible for the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts. And especially in America, that has to be retaught again. But anyway, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, who are these people that he's talking to here? People, the subject. Was it just these 11 apostles? Well, we know from reading the rest of the passage that it can't just be them. Because notice, at the end of verse 20, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, Jesus knew those apostles weren't going to live that long. They were going to die, many martyred. But something would be in existence to the end of the world. And what is it? The New Testament church. And how do we know that? Because Matthew 16:18, he promises that the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. And so he's not just speaking to the 11 here. He's speaking to the New Testament church as an institution. Now you may ask, well, why did he just call these 11? There certainly were more members of the church at Jerusalem than just these 11. Well, 1 Corinthians 12:28 tells us that God hath set some in the church first apostles. So the first members of the first church were the apostles, and I have to believe that they were a good representation of the entire church. So he's giving the commission here, people the subject. That's where you're gonna find the laborers. That's how selective the Lord is. He's not just going anywhere. He's going to his church to find the people that are gonna propagate the gospel. And so here we see that here. We see a good representation with the first apostles who were the first members. Now that raises an interesting question. How many of the membership are involved in this missions effort? Well, if we think back to Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He said before that, he said, ye shall be endued with power. And so when we finally see that day come that was referred to as not many days hence in the previous passage, if we look at that passage, when it finally arrives, let's see what we see. Go back to the book of Acts, this time in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Notice our Bible. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who? Well, those people that were mentioned over there in the middle of chapter 1, in verses 13 and 14, where it says, These all continued with one accord in prayer, supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples and said the number of the names together were about 120. So they had 120. That's a good representation of the church at Jerusalem. They were all together in one place, and guess what happened? The baptism with the Holy Ghost. Let's read about it. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, each of the 120. Not just the 11, but the 120. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there is your baptism with the Holy Spirit, and it involved the entire membership. Now, if we read later on in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 1, we find that there was a great persecution in this church. And they were all scattered abroad, guess where to? Those same regions that were mentioned in Acts 1:8. And then it says in verse 4, except the apostles. So there is clear proof that people, the subject, as far as God's view, was to be the entire membership of the New Testament church. There's no other organization in Scripture authorized to do mission work except the New Testament church. The Lord just narrows it right down to the local church when he wants his core of laborers. So that's people the subject. Remember what we're talking about, what missions is. It's people the subject, reaching people the object, as he planned. So, now that we know that people were the members of the local church, what about people the object? What about the people that are to be reached as God planned? Well, go back to Acts 1:8 again. We're right almost there. Acts 1:8. And notice, again, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. We just read about that. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria unto the othermost part of the earth. Now, what is it about those locales that he just mentions there? He said, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. To those locations, certainly that's where he's sending the membership. But what about those locations? He's talking about the people at those locations. The people that are going to be reached. People, the object. In other words, the harvest. Mark 16:15 says, he said to those same disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all nations, he said. The field, he said, is the world. For God so loved the world. People, the object. From that select group of people, the subject, the scope widens vastly to all the world. The harvest is everybody. And that included you and me. Sometime in the past, somebody came and reached us wherever we were in our locale. And thank God that he had a plan for that. I mean, I would not want to figure all that out on my own. But God's plan to reach people, the object, the harvest, is what? Notice it here in Acts 1:8. Look. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, here's a key word, both in Jerusalem and. In other words, at the same time that you are reaching Jerusalem, I want you to reach Samaria. And at the same time that you're reaching Jerusalem and Samaria, I want you to reach Judea. And at the same time you're reaching Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea, I want you to reach unto the uttermost part of the world. Now, it must, of course, begin at Jerusalem. And the last chapter of the book of Luke says that. Beginning at Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where the candlestick is. That's where the lighthouse is planted. Where is our Jerusalem? It's Wildwood. But notice that Acts 1:8 does not say, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me first in Jerusalem," and then when you feel that Jerusalem is evangelized, go ahead and go on to Judea. No, it says both in Jerusalem and. That's God's plan. When God calls a New Testament church into existence in a locale, say Jerusalem or Wildwood, it ought to start praying for what it can do for Judea. Our Judea would be Greater St. Louis. But it doesn't stop there in Samaria. We need to start praying about what we can do about America. But it doesn't stop there. Unto the uttermost part of the earth. Both in and unto. A worldwide missionary program. That's what missions is. People reaching people as God planned. It also does not say in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. But Samaria is not all that important to our church. So we're going to kind of skip. We won't emphasize Samaria. We're going to jump to the uttermost part of the world. That's not what it says. As a matter of fact, I don't read anywhere in Acts 1:8 where any one area is more important than the other. They're all important to God. And they should all be important to the home church. But some might say, "Preacher, there's plenty to do right here." But God's plan for every New Testament church is to reach the city where they are and to reach the world. What missions is? People reaching people as God planned. Now, he further expounds on the plan. As stated before, God intends for the laborers to be every church member. So he wants every single one of us in the home church in God's missionary program. And that plan can only work as well as the participants participate in it. So if that's God's plan and not all of the members are involved, then maybe the plan's not working as well as it should. He wants all the members involved. Now, does that mean that every member needs to pack up their bags and go to the uttermost part of the earth? No, then there wouldn't be any local church left. But it does say that every member should be 100% involved in the worldwide missionary effort. So how can that happen? How can all the members be involved 100% in the worldwide missions effort? So the question is, what is the church member's mission field? Well, it's Jerusalem by open mouth. Psalm 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." So where would the membership say so? Where would you say so? Right here. Right here in Jerusalem. That's where you are. So you can say so there. That's where you can go. And that's why we have once a month, on a Saturday, the first Saturday of every month, And I trust that the ranks will grow and grow and grow as more of us membership understands that Jerusalem is our mission field where we can go and say so. First Saturday every month we meet here. Now I hope, and I meant to bring it, I left the folder at home, that we are involved at other times other than the first Saturday of the month trying to reach the lost for Jesus Christ in our Jerusalem. Now my wife and I was going to bring the packet, show you what we do. We bought, we sent for, paid for lists of new arrivals. And we've put together a new arrival package, which I think is kind of nice. We've done it up first class. Going to add things to it as I get a little bit more money together. Thinking about putting in that packet. You know those little things that open up an envelope, those sharp little things? I was thinking about getting those and putting Hebrews 4:12 on there. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I also thought of putting a little mirror, a little pop-out cover and putting the Bible verse, James chapter 1, and whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Been thinking about putting that in there too. That'll be a nice package. So where is the church member's mission field? Jerusalem by open mouth. But if we are to be involved 100% in the worldwide missionary program, then it needs to be broader than that. And let me show you a key passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 13 through 16. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 13 through 16. Notice what Paul is saying here to a New Testament church. He said, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." What is he talking about? He's talking about his mission work. That's what he was involved in. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as unto you also, preaching the gospel of Christ." Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith, church members, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. How was that going to happen? When their faith was increased. So the church member's missions field is Jerusalem by open mouth and the regions beyond by prayer. And that's why we have Missionary of the Month. Now for the new folks here that have joined the church recently, and what a blessing it is to have five new families having joined our church within the last few months. I have to believe that God's blessing the seed that we're sowing. And have you noticed, church members, that what we're getting is quality people? They're not the riffraff. Quality. That's why I love this church. My church. Our church. My wife and I's church. The Lord's church. But I love you people. I want to be a blessing to you people. I hope that I am, because you sure are to me. So, that's why. So, for the benefit of the new people, we have what we set up out in the foyer so that we'll become more prayer prone and prayer minded to preach for our missionary fields beyond our Jerusalem. And we support 9 of them. And each month, a different one. where their prayer letter is read from this pulpit, and a list is made of their prayer requests, and we are asked to pick up this little prayer slip from that table to write the prayer request down on, so we will pray for those requests throughout the month. Now, if you are not now in the habit, the first Wednesday of the month, to pick this up off the table, please get into the habit, so we can write those requests down. And then at the bottom it says, they need our prayers, which is obvious. They would enjoy a letter, card, or email, and the addresses are up here. So it's Jerusalem by open mouth, but it's the world through prayer. And when our faith is increased, that will involve our purse. Giving. The money that we talked about at the beginning of the message. What is God's plan for each church member with regards to the worldwide missionary effort? Supporting it by faith, as Paul challenged the Corinthians to do, to support the missionary effort through prayer, certainly. That's the most important thing. But for missions, it takes more than prayer. It takes another kind of support. Money. It takes money. So where for the church member, it's Jerusalem by open mouth, it's the world through prayer and open purse. Something beyond the church member's own power to do. That's how faith works. I mean, anything worthwhile done for God must be done beyond our power, especially in support of missions. By faith. It's the only way a church can be involved in a worldwide missions program. And that should be easy to see, because the world is pretty big. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous. Let's get a glimpse of just how plenteous and why it does require something beyond our power. How big is the harvest? Planet Earth strains under the weight of over 7 billion people. The population of the world has doubled since the end of World War II. Scientists estimate that mankind did not reach 1 billion, the 1 billion mark, until the 1800s. But it has taken less than 12 years to add the 7th billion. So you can see the rate of increase of the population is at a fantastic rate. It's a net increase of over 250,000 every 24 hours. Consider this fact. Over one half of all the people born since the beginning of recorded history that lived to the age of 5 years old is alive today. What does that translate out to be? Well, if you just consider the people of China, which represent a third of the world's population, if they would march past a given point 4 abreast, they would never cease to march, because a new generation would be born and grow up before this generation all passed that mark. There are over 3,000 languages in the world. Less than half of that have any portion of scriptures. Less than 500 have the whole Bible. 3 million villages of the world have no gospel witness. So we see the immenseness of the task. There's no other way to tackle this job except by faith. It's beyond one's own power to do. So you see, it's Jerusalem by open mouth and the world by open purse. What missions is? People reaching people with a plan, with God's plan. So my question this evening is, what are you doing as a member of Cornerstone Baptist Church? Are you involved in reaching Jerusalem by mouth, and then to be a part of the worldwide missions program. How about that faith? Has it been stretched? We have a program for the prayer part. We're trying to make it as easy as we possibly can to bring these prayer requests before us. But folks, what about the purse? Ask yourself, are you right now giving to missions above your tithe? It would have to be above the tithe for it to be faith. See, tithing is not faith. Tithing is obedience. It's a tenth of your increase. It's a no-brainer. By faith, though, I am going to be involved in the worldwide missions program. At the same time that I'm trying to reach Jerusalem by mouth, I'm going to contribute and support the worldwide missions effort. And here's what will happen if every one of the members of Cornerstone Baptist Church would catch that vision. We would support twice the missionaries that we support now. I'm convinced of it. So there's the challenge tonight to the membership of Cornerstone Baptist Church. So what are you going to do? Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you know what you need to do. You need to move that people from the object to the subject. You need to be reached. You need to be saved. And once you're saved and scripturally baptized and in the New Testament church and being taught the Word of God, you will see, yeah, I'm part of this. I want to be part of this. I want to take on more missionaries. We should be supporting more than 9 missionaries. How about if we, in the ensuing weeks and months, see that missions budget grow? I know we support missions out of the general budget, but what would happen if we started getting money by faith besides the general budget that maybe could help out the general budget? I think that'd be a great thing. Think about it, church member. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.